Chapter 1, Section 2, Science in Action, from Reading Essentials. What you'll learn. You'll learn skills that scientists use, the meaning of science of hypothesis, and the difference between observation and inference. Before you read, think of some skills that you have. You may have be good at basketball. Of all the skills you have, which do you think is your best? How did you learn that skill? Read to learn. Science skills. You already know that science is about asking questions. How does asking questions lead to learning? There is no single way to learn. A scientist doesn't just ask a question and then always follow the same steps to answer the question. Instead, scientists use many different skills. Some of these skills are thinking, observing, predicting, investigating, researching, modeling, measuring, analyzing, and inferring. Any of these skills might help answer a question. Some answers to scientific questions are also found with luck and using creativity. What are some science methods? Investigations often follow a pattern. Look at the diagram on the next page. Most investigations begin by observing or seeing something and then asking a question about what was seen. Scientists try to find out what is already known about a question. They talk with other scientists and read books and magazines to learn all they can. Then they try to find a possible explanation. To collect even more information, scientists usually make more observations. They might build a model, do experiments, or both. In the left column, under mark the text, highlighting, as you read the text under each heading, highlight the science skills you see. When you finish reading the section, review the skills you have highlighted. I'm going to have you not, you do not have to do the foldable from page 10 in the left column. On the page 11, how do you question and observe? You ask questions and make observations all the time. For example, Miss Clark, a middle school science teacher, placed a sealed shoebox on the table at the front of the classroom. Everyone in the class began to ask questions about what was inside the box. Some students picked up the box. There was something loose inside it. Some students said it sounded like metal when it hit the sides of the box. It wasn't very heavy. Miss Clark passed the box around. Each student made observations and wrote them in his or her journal. These students were using science skills without even knowing it. How is guessing part of science? Miss Clark asked her students to guess what was in the box. One student thought it was a pair of scissors. Another student thought it was too heavy to be scissors. All agreed it was made of metal. The students then guessed that it was probably a stapler in the box. Miss Clark told them that by guessing a stapler was in the box, they had made a hypothesis. What is a hypothesis? A hypothesis is a reasonable answer based on what you know and what you observe. The students observed that whatever was in the box was small, heavier than a pair of scissors, and made of metal. The students knew that a stapler is small, heavier than a pair of scissors, and made of metal. They used this information to make the hypothesis that there was a stapler in the box. And at the very top of page 11, you see the scientific method. You see it all laid out in the organizer. And in the far right on page 11, in the right column, picture this, interpreting a diagram. Why are there two arrows going in different directions at the right end of the diagram? Think it over. Number two, compare and contrast. How is a hypothesis different than a guess? Page 12. How do you analyze a hypothesis? Keeping an open mind. Miss Clark asked the students to think about the possibility that the object in the box might not be a stapler. One student said it had to be a stapler. Miss Clark reminded him that they might be missing something because their minds were made up that it was a stapler. She said that good scientists keep open minds to every idea and to every explanation. Finding new information, Miss Clark asked them what would happen if they learned new information that is not fit with their hypothesis. They thought about what new information they could find to help prove their hypothesis true or not true. The students decided that they could get another shoebox and put a stapler in it. Then they could shake it to see whether it felt and sounded the same as the other box. By getting more information to find out if their hypothesis was correct, the students could analyze or examine their hypothesis. How do you make a prediction? Ms. Clark asked the students to predict what would happen if their hypothesis was correct. A prediction is what you think will happen. The students all agreed the second box should feel and sound like the mystery box. How do you test a hypothesis? Sometimes a hypothesis is tested by making observations. Sometimes building a model is the best way to test a hypothesis. To test their hypothesis, the students made a model. The new shoebox with the stapler inside of it was the model. After making a model, you must test it to make sure it is the same as the original. So the students needed to test their model to see if it was the same as the original shoebox. When they picked up the model box, they found it was a little heavier than the first box. Also, when they shook the model box, it did not make the same sound as the first box. The students decided to find the mass of each box. Then they would know how much more mass a stapler has compared to the object in the first box. The students used a balance to find that the box with the stapler had a mass of 410 grams. The mystery box had a mass of 270 grams. In the left column, page 12, think it over. Number 3, explain. What will the box sound and feel like if the student's hypothesis is correct? Page 13, how do you organize your findings? Ms. Clark suggested that the students organize the information they had before making any new conclusions. By organizing their observations, they had a summary to look at while making conclusions. The students put their information into a table like the one below. In the observation chart, the question, does it roll or slide? The mystery box, it slides and appears to be flat. Our box, it slides and appears to be flat. The second question, does it make any sounds? The mystery box, it makes a metallic sound when it strikes the sides of the box. Our box, the stapler makes a thudding sound when it strikes the side of the box. And the next question, what is the mass of the box? And the last part of that question, we could put in that the mystery box is 270 grams and our box is 410 grams. So how do you draw conclusions? When the students looked at the observations in their table, they decided that their hypothesis was not correct. Ms. Clark asked them if that meant that there was not a stapler in this mystery box. One student said that there could be a different kind of stapler in the mystery box. The students were inferring that the object in the mystery box was not like the stapler in their test box. To infer means to make a conclusion based on what you observe. Another student suggested that they were right back where they started with the mystery box. Ms. Clark pointed out that even though their observations did not support their hypothesis, they knew more information than when they started. How do you continue to learn? A student asked if she could open the box to see what was in it. Ms. Clark explained that scientists do not get to open the box to find answers to their questions. Some scientists spend their entire lives looking for the answer to one question. When your investigation does not support your first hypothesis, you try again. You gather new information, make new observations, and form a new hypothesis. In the right column, page 13, picture this. Complete a table. Using information from the previous page, complete the last row of the table. And the reading check, number 5, determine. What did the students in Ms. Clark's class infer? Page 14. How do you communicate your findings? Sometimes scientists try to continue or repeat the work of other scientists. It is important for scientists to explain the results of their investigations and how they did their investigations. Scientists write about their work in journals and give books and on the internet. They also often go to meetings and give speeches about their work. An important part of doing science is showing methods and results to others. Experiments. Different types of questions need different types of investigations. Ms. Clark's class needed to answer the question, what is inside the mystery box? To answer the question, they built a model to learn more about the mystery box. Some scientific questions are answered by doing a type of investigation called a controlled experiment. A controlled experiment involves changing only one part in an experiment and observing what that change does to another part of the experiment. What are variables? A variable is a part of an experiment that can change. Imagine an experiment that tests three fertilizers to see which one makes plants grow tallest. This experiment has two variables. One variable is the fertilizer used. Since three different fertilizers are used, each one can have a different outcome in the experiment. The second variable is the height of the plants. The different fertilizers can affect the height of the plants. Independent variables. The independent variable is a variable that is changed in an experiment. The fertilizer is changed by the scientists, so the fertilizer isn't an independent variable. In an experiment, there should be only one independent variable. Dependent variable. The dependent variable is a variable that depends on what happens in the experiment when the independent variable is used. The dependent variable is also the variable measured at the end of the experiment. The height of the plants is the dependent variable. The height of each plant may be different depending on which fertilizer is used. The scientists will measure the height of each plant at the end of the experiment to see what fertilizer affects the height the most. Page 14, left column, think it over. Draw conclusions. Suppose scientists did not show their methods and results to other scientists. How would this affect scientific discoveries? And the reading check, number 7, explain. Explain what a dependent variable is in an experiment. Page 15, what are constants? A constant is a part of an experiment that is not changed. There can be more than one constant. In the fertilizer experiment, the constants could be the type of plant, the amount of water or sunlight the plants get, or the kind of soil the plants are planted in. The scientist keeps all of these constants the same for all of the types of fertilizers that are tested. Laboratory safety. In your science class, you will perform many kinds of investigations. Performing investigations involves more than just following steps. You must learn how to keep yourself and those around you safe. Always obey the safety symbol warnings shown below. And there you see the safety symbols for eye safety, clothing protection, disposal, biological, extreme temperature, sharp object, fume, irritant, then in the second column, toxic, animal safety, flammable, electrical, chemical, open flame, and hand washing. How do you practice safety in the lab? When scientists work in a lab, they take many safety precautions. You must also take safety precautions in the science lab. The most important safety advice is to think before you act. You should always check with your teacher during the planning stage of your investigation. Make sure you know where the safety equipment is in your lab or classroom. You also need to make sure you know how to use the safety equipment. Safety equipment includes eye washes, thermal mitts, and the fire extinguisher. Page 15, in the right column, picture this. Recognize cause and effect. What is one kind of experiment in which you would need to wear eye goggles? Reading check number 9, describe. What is the most important safety advice in the lab? Page 16, what are some good safety habits? Good safety habits include the following suggestions. Find and follow all safety symbols before you begin an investigation. Always wear an apron and goggles to protect yourself from chemicals, flames, and pointed objects. Keep goggles on until activity, cleanup, and hand washing are complete. Always slant test tubes away from yourself and others. Never eat, drink, or put on makeup in the lab. Report all accidents to your teacher. And always wash your hands after working in a lab. How do you practice safety in the field? Investigations are also done outside the lab. You can do investigations in streams, farm fields, and other places. Scientists call this working in the field. Scientists must follow safety regulations in the field as well as in the lab. Always wear eye goggles and other safety equipment that you need. Never reach into holes or under rocks. Always wash your hands after you've finished your work in the field or in the lab. Why have safety rules? Doing science in the lab or in the field can be much more interesting than just reading about it. But doing experiments can be dangerous and accidents can happen. If you follow safety rules closely, an accident is less likely to happen. Still, you cannot predict when something will go wrong. Think of a person taking a trip in a car. Most of the time that the person is not in a car accident. However, to be safe, drivers and passengers must wear their safety belts. Wearing safety gear in the lab is like wearing a safety belt in a car. It can keep you from being hurt in an accident. You should wear safety gear even if you are just watching an experiment. Always keep safety in mind when conducting an experiment. In the left column, page 16, think it over, number 10, apply. Why should you never eat or drink in the lab? Think it over. Number 11, infer. If you are doing a science experiment in the lab or in the field, what is one thing that you should always wear? Page 17, after you read. The mini glossary. The words consist of constant, a part of an experiment that is not changed. Controlled experiment involves changing only one part of an experiment and observing what that change does to another part of an experiment. Dependent variable, a variable that depends on what happens in the experiment when the independent variable is used. Hypothesis, a reasonable answer based on what you know and what you observe. Independent variable, a variable that is changed in an experiment. Infer, to make a conclusion based on what you observe. And variable, a part of an experiment that can change. Number one, review the terms and their definitions in the mini glossary. In this section, what was an example of a controlled experiment? Number two, in the flow chart below, complete the steps that a scientist might take when conducting a scientific investigation. Use these words or group of words to complete the chart. Conclude and communicate, hypothesize, experiment, investigate, or model. And there you see observe goes to a box below it, to a box to the right, to the word analyze, and to a box that you do after you analyze. Number three, at the beginning of the section, you were asked to highlight science skills in this section. What is another method you could have used to learn about science skills? That ends section chapter 1, section 2, from the reading essentials.